then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Thank you, Lord, for this, your word. I pray that you help us to understand some things in it tonight that would be a blessing to us. Help us to learn by the example, by the failure of Peter here, Lord, that the similarities and the same temptations that we face, and then how to avoid that. Lord, how to remain faithful to you and learn fidelity and loyalty to you. So, Lord, I pray that you help us through this incident that is so painful in Peter's life. And it seemed just painful to read about it. But, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to learn from your scripture here tonight and what had taken place here and how that we can serve you and love you and live for you properly today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go back to John chapter 13, verse number 36. In John chapter 13, verse number 36, here's the give and take between Peter and the Lord. It says, Simon Peter said unto him, unto the Lord Jesus, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And then we read that verse in 18:27 that says, then Peter denied him. And this was the third time in the progression here. Sure enough, he did exactly that. This passage is actually painful to read. I mean, just going over it, it's hard to read that, especially if you have any favorite Bible characters, Old Testament. I love David. I love to read about David and what he went through, and because so much of his heart is shown in the Psalms, and then you see his life and what had taken place, and you kind of relate to him. You kind of understand him a little bit more because of what he's gone through and whatever. And so you can kind of see and feel the fears and the challenges that he faces yourself, you know. Well, Peter's that kind of a guy. He's human. And he's got so many bold and human characteristics that we can sometimes relate. We associate with Peter and his compulsiveness, his foolishness. So many times he says something not because he's thinking, but he should say something. Where was it? Was it the Mount of Transfiguration? He just blurts out, Lord, we should, you know, build a tabernacle. It says because he didn't know what to say. Listen, when you don't know what to say, don't say anything. You'll be thought you're wise, you know. But a lot of times, Peter, just in his impulsiveness and his foolishness, he'll speak out. He's impatient. He's generally human. And for that reason, Peter seems to be a guy that we really associate with because we're human. But love for the Savior, he had, and there's no denying that. I mean, he was one that, he was 110%. You remember they're around washing feet. Jesus is washing all the disciples' feet, and then comes to Peter, and he says, no, that's too low, Lord. You're not going to do that for me. I'm not going to let you do that. He says, well, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you're not any part of me. And he says, all right, Lord, then everything, my head, my hands, everything. He is all in. He loved the Lord. I mean, he really loved the Lord. And I think that's kind of why we relate to him, and he's one of my favorite New Testament characters because I relate to him. And then the failure. Oh, ouch. The weeping that he fell to afterwards, we understand. When Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times before this night is over, and he was in that part of his life, he was as close and as on top as he could possibly be, and as connected and as committed to the Lord. And it was real. It wasn't fake. He wasn't putting on. He wasn't a hypocrite. He was absolutely all in with the Lord. And then you find the story and you read the story of how he actually did deny the Lord. And we we understand because so many of the emotions and the experiences that Peter had, we have. Who among us have never failed the Lord in the light of his amazing love and his acceptance? The Lord's fidelity, his faithfulness to us. Boy, is he faithful to us. Could we say, boy, am I faithful to the Lord? I don't know. I'd like to be. How about you? But he's faithful to us, and in his fidelity. And we turn around and we treat him sometimes as we do. Oh, my goodness. When we understand his care and his power. And then we let him down. See, Judas may have betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, but Peter and I have traded the Lord sometimes for 30 minutes of folly or for 30 seconds of selfishness in exchange for the greatest lover our soul has ever had, that has ever lived. He loves us like nobody else. And thus we can connect to the emotion, the pathetic emotion that overwhelmed Peter in light of his denial of Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. That was a bitter pill for Peter to take in the reality of his denial of Christ. Well, let's go back and read the context. So if you have your Bibles open to John chapter number 18, let's start with verse number 1. John chapter 18, verse number 1. This is the event of the denial of Christ. Well, it's the event of so many things here and so many other things that are more meaningful, I guess you might say. But we're looking at Peter's denial. And so it starts in this context here in John chapter number 18, verse number 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, and by the way, you'd have to go back about three chapters, and if you have a red letter Bible, then they're all words in red, because that's Jesus' amazing teaching of his love for them, of their growth, of their... He's given them the last things that he needs to give to the disciples in this intimate time right before his committal to the crucifixion. He's giving them everything that he wanted to say to them, and it's just like a wonderful, wonderful time of teaching. It was just amazing, amazing closeness, an amazing relationship. I mean, you just read through that stuff, and you just you're bound to be awed by the Lord and his love and his care and what he's preparing them for. And then you look at all of that, and then you get to chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, those words that we're talking about, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and of officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now this was, again, in light of just prior to this time, Jesus committing his fellowship, his commitment to the Lord, and he told him, I'd die for you. Lord, I would die for you. I'm not going to be denying you. I would die for you. And here he's proving that by putting skin in the game here and getting involved. I mean, he just, you know, full force. He's out there and he begins, but they may have had those metal helmets and came down on the guy's head, but just sliced his right ear off. Can you imagine that? What a scene, by the way. What doesn't say here, but Jesus picked up the ear and put it back on the guy, healed the guy up right there. You know, at that moment, you got to say, okay, thank you very much, but we're going to go on, you know, but they didn't. Anyway, so, you know, this is, wow, what a story here. So he lops the guy's ear off. Verse 11, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, which was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Okay, so he didn't have the connections that John or whoever that disciple was. We don't have the name here. I think it was John. But so here's this other disciple with connections, and he gets to go in, but Peter's left outside. He doesn't have a ticket. Okay, so he has to stay outside. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Here, follow me, Peter, you can come on in. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. I don't know what compelled him for that denial. There's no pressure. There was no threat of life here. Here was just this little girl that's at the door, that she's the doorkeeper, and she says, hey, aren't you one of them? Aren't you one of his disciples? And maybe he just didn't want the trouble at that time. He was just, you know, didn't want notification, wanted to lay low. And he says, no, I'm not. And he passes her on in. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Here, can you see Peter in this group? He's kind of out of place. He didn't belong there. He wants to find out what's going on with Jesus, but he's trying to look nonchalant. You know, he's trying to look like, you know, he's part of the furniture there, part of the crowd. And here's a crowd that's warming their hands at this fire, a cold night. So he just goes there, warming his hands at the fire, kind of noticing what's going on there, you know. But this is not his crowd. You know what I mean? He's out of place here. Verse 19. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto thee. Behold, they know what I said. Verse 22. And when he had thus spoke, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. And now this was, by the way, a little bit more of a threat. It's not from a little girl. These are from the other soldiers that were in that crowd that could have done him wrong. You remember, Peter was the one that drew first blood. And so here, so there's a little bit more committed here in this questioning him if he was not one of the disciples, and he says, I am not. Verse 26, one of his servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. And that's where we ended up. Let me ask you something. Why do folks deny Christ? Why do those who love the Lord, they understand, they recognize who Jesus is, why would they deny Christ? Why did Peter deny Christ? Peter, I'm sure, never imagined in 100 years that he would ever take the coward's way out of his confirmation to follow Jesus. He was determined to follow Jesus. He was there. He was going to follow the Lord. Things just fell out to revealing that his commitment wasn't as strong as he thought it was. His character was greater than estimated. Well, it was less than estimated. And that the opposition was going to be that strong. But here it was. And here's Peter, and he denies. He mistakenly thought that his love for the Lord was more than the world. But you know what he didn't understand, or what he didn't realize at this time, is what we don't realize also. Jeremiah 17:9, what a great verse. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then later it says, I the Lord know the hearts. I'm the one that knows the hearts. But you know what? The heart, and it's talking about that part of our character inside us, our life, our soul and spirit inside. You know, we've got the physical, we've got the thing that you can't see, and that's the person, and that's what he's talking about. The heart, the core of every person, that place where you think, you know, we sometimes talk about our heart feels and our brain thinks. Well, you know, the Bible talks about our heart thinking. It's the place where we think, where our thoughts come from. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. When it says it's more deceitful than anything else, deceitful means it'll trick you. It'll make you think something that is not so. That's our heart. Our heart will tell us we're more advanced in our spiritual walk than we really are. Our heart will tell us that we're better than we really are. Our heart will tell us that that things are just not the way that they really are. If you've ever heard two sides to a story, let's say there's a husband and wife, and they come in for counsel, and one says this, and one says this, and it's like, well, somebody's not telling the truth, you know, because you can't both be right, you know. But the heart is that which is deceitful, makes us think things that are not real, that will bring us into non-reality. The heart is deceitful above all things. There was a study once about good drivers, and it said something like 95% of the people that are on the road consider themselves on the better than other drivers on the road. But you know, you can't have that. 95% of the, you know, it's only 50% of that crowd is better, but 95% said that they were. In other words, everybody thinks they're better than they are, you know. Where's that come from? The heart. You know, you talk about, you know, when you witness to folks about their sin and they're not that bad. What tells them that? The heart. I don't really need the Savior. I'm better than that. I'm okay. No, that's the heart. The heart is deceitful. And you know what? The heart, we don't get it as believers, as Christians. We are deceived. Yet, today, we think that we're more than what we are. We think that we're better than what we are, spiritually even. And that's what was going on with Peter. He thought he was better than where he was. He thought he was stronger. He thought, I would never do that because I'm beyond that. I've graduated. You know what? Later on, the Lord says, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And I believe that Jesus was talking about this whole situation. When you go through this and go through the weeping and the repentance and everything else, you're going to be bettered by that. And you'll be able to help others, you know, by being able to turn around and use your failures for the kingdom of God. Let's look at a few temptations to deny the Savior. The question is, why do people deny Christ? Why did Peter deny Christ? Well, number one was anonymity. The first denial occurred as Peter was in the presence of the opposing party. Peter was trying to maneuver among the enemy territory. Look at those verses again, verse number 16, John 18, 16. But Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. And then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. Peter stood with them. See, so Peter was among the crowd. He was among the enemy, and he didn't want attention to be drawn unto him. He didn't want people looking at him. He didn't want to stick out like a sore thumb. He wanted to kind of blend. That's what he was going for. And because he wanted to blend, he was going to deny the Lord. Now, when, you know what, if we're, let's say in heaven, where everybody's praising God, and you want to be part of that and you want to blend in, amen, fine, you know, because that's what you're supposed to do. But in a place where wickedness is exalted and righteousness is debunked, then you don't want to blend in that kind of a situation. But we're that way. I mean, we desire anonymity as humans. We also desire the safety of the crowd. We kind of like to blend in. That's why we don't witness for Christ like we should. It's why we don't stand up for the Lord sometimes when we know that we should, when we know that we need to. Something happens and somebody should say something and we don't, and we might even have the answer, but we don't want to say anything because, I mean, everybody's going to look at us, and we want anonymity. We want to just kind of blend in. And obviously, Peter was in that situation here. He was wanting to blend in. He was just wanting to not stick out and just look like everybody else. And everybody else there would deny Christ, and so he's just going to go for anonymity. Sometimes, and what Peter did here was he denied because of unpopularity. In another gospel, Peter's speech betrayed him. The Bible says it was, I think, I remember who it was, whether it was the maid or one of the servants, that says, wait a minute, your speech is like these Galileans here. His speech gave him away. See, they were all different. Nobody else spoke like Peter did. And I don't know if that meant his accent or his vocabulary. It was the way he talked that labeled it. That, I mean, they caught it. Wait a minute. You're not from around here, are you? Do you ever talk to somebody about, you know, whatever, and they're, you know, obviously different? I like going door knocking with Brother Chris, because, you know, we'll go door knocking, and he'll come up to somebody and he'll invite them to church, and he'll say something like this. We would appreciate if you'd fancy coming to church, or he says something like that about, you know, and I just sit back there and go, you know, that's not normal. Well, we don't, I mean, where he comes from, that is normal, but around here, everybody could, you know, grab right away. Oh, he's not from around here. You know, Peter wasn't from around there. Whether it was maybe they just spoke rough and harsh or vulgarity or whatever, and Peter wasn't speaking like other people were, because everybody else was the same and Peter was unpopular. His stand was unpopular. Standing with Jesus in that crowd was unpopular. Now, you know, just prior to that, where Jesus is coming into the triumphal entry, where they put down, what do you call that, palm branches, and they're saying, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, that was popular. That was popular to stand for Christ. It was popular to praise the Lord at that point. Just like it's popular to praise the Lord here. You know, we sing. I have a real problem with people that, even in a crowd where it's popular to praise and sing, and they don't. If you find it hard to praise the Lord here, do you ever praise him out in the world? You know, come on. This is the easy place to join in because it's popular to uplift the Lord in church, but that's not where the rub comes in, is it? That's not where the test is. The test is where it's unpopular. and because of unpopularity. Listen, unpopular or not, stand. Stand for the Lord. Don't try to be popular. I think that's the problem with many Christians today, is there's such an effort to be popular, to be accepted with the popular crowd, with that which is accepted. Don't even try. You know what? I've learned that long time ago, that if I'm ever going to walk with the Lord and stand for Him, it is unpopular and you're going to be, you know, outcast. So, just take it. Do it. Just stand. Don't even try to be popular. Look at verse number 26. It says, one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Now this guy was related to Malchus. And this is the reason why some deny Christ today, because of the enemies of Christ. Those who are on the other side and they're opponents to Christ. And we know that we're going to be facing that too if we, you know, stand with the Lord or whatever. And so we're going to just deny the Lord. We're not going to stand for Him. Now, here Peter was identified as the enemy. Peter was not the same as these other soldiers. And it was, you know, all of a sudden the covers were jerked back and they realized, hey, wait a minute. Peter's the enemy. He's the guy with the sword. And he's the guy that cut off Uncle Malchus's ear or my cousin Malchus's ear, whoever, you know, his brother or cousin or whoever it was. Hey, listen, and there was a vendetta there. You cut off my brother's ear. Are you kidding me? And you're here? I mean, there was something to pay at that point. And so Peter then was revealed to be the enemy. they weren't going to forget that. See, we make enemies of the world, and there's no getting around that. If you're going to love the Lord, if you're going to be godly today in this society, you're going to make enemies. People that will hate you because actually they hate the Lord or hate God or hate His things, but they're going to be taking it out on you because they can't take it out on God, but they can take it out on His servants. No getting around that. John 15:18, Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. In other words, get used to it. If you're going to stand with Christ, you're going to gain enemies. Enemies that are on the other side that are going to be your enemy. But see, we will have enemies. We just need to choose who to disappoint. We want to disappoint the Lord, or do we want to disappoint the world? You're going to disappoint one of the two. In Luke chapter 22, verse number 61, this is the worst part about Peter's denial. You know, just in, you remember few chapters before where we were reading this wonderful intimate time that they had with the Lord. And this is the time that he, you know, they went through the Lord's Supper and he says, this is what I'm going to be doing for you just shortly. And he was showing his love and his commitment and everything else. And they were doing that. And then they were talking about denying him. You know, Lord, the others might, but not me, never. I'll die for you. That's what I'm going to, I will die for you. And he does that kind of commitment and that kind of a love shown to the Lord, and then he does that to Christ. With just this little bump, he denies him. I mean, he wants to convince others, to prove to them that he doesn't know the Lord. He's not part of that group. He's not part of, don't know what you're talking about. And by the way, he does trying to be just like the others. He curses. And this was, by the way, in the same vicinity where Jesus is there being questioned. And that's where Peter is. And here's this, all of a sudden, this brouhaha that goes on over here. And it gets loud. And Peter curses and swears. And looks over, look what the Bible says, Luke 22:61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I kind of think that everybody stopped at that point, whether it was Caiaphas or whoever it was talking to at the time. or the soldiers or whatever, all of a sudden here's this whatever, this upheaval going over here, and everybody stopped and looked, and Peter looks over, because that's who he's watching. He's watching the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, then the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And that's where it says, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Goodness. Wow. Folks, we're gonna have enemies. The thing to do, though, is just choose who that you want to disappoint. Here, all of a sudden, he realized he disappointed the wrong party. He didn't want to disappoint the Lord. That he would do anything to not disappoint the Lord. But in trying to please the crowd, he disappoints Jesus. Man, that's what happens. See, the thing about this is we can learn and grow and mature to where our failures are fewer and fewer. And that's why I believe that Jesus says, after this event, he says, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He's not talking about getting converted, getting saved. He says, when you go through this whole thing, and then you recover, and you repent, and all of that kind of stuff, then, you know, you're going to be stronger. And folks, we learn to become more faithful to him as his fidelity applies to us. As we see more of his fidelity, then we can be more and more faithful to him. We can show a true love, a true consistency, a loyalty, a fidelity, a dependability. Our dependability grows as we walk with the King over time. And then we see that kind of love and realize, you know what? If I'm going to disappoint somebody, I'm going to disappoint the world. I'm not going to disappoint the Savior. One thing is for sure, though, there's coming a time when we're no longer going to deny our Savior, because we're going to be cleansed of the sinful nature of that wicked heart, of that wicked, deceitful heart of the foolishness that we get into, because that's going to be cleansed. That's going to be scoured from us. Can you imagine what we're going to be like without a sinful nature? You know, some people's sin, some people's wickedness is so part of their character, you can't imagine them without. You can't imagine them as honest. You can't imagine them as faithful to the Lord. You can't imagine them genuinely wanting your blessing and your progression because of who they are. But you know what? Believers, saints, will have all of that cleansed from us as we pass over the other side. Romans 8:21. Because the creature itself, that's us, the things that were created, the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, this is dealing with our glorified bodies and everything else that has to do with this, but I'm just talking about we're going to be cleansed of the bondage of corruption, the corruption that makes us to be sinners, sinners by nature and sinners by choice, and have a bent towards sin and doing wrong and getting away from the Lord and all of that foolishness that we get into. That's going to be gone. It's going to be taken away, delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only them, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Then we never have to worry about that again. I'm looking forward to that. Until that time, I'm going to try to my dead level best to grow more faithful to the Lord, more loyal to him, more pleasing to the Lord. I'm going to try my very best to be what God wants me to be and to get over those times of denial. I'm going to try to be faithful. You know, this country is going towards quickly going into a place where standing for the things that we stand for in this book are very unpopular. I dealt a little bit of that on Sunday, last couple of Sundays, about where the nation's headed, and if we stand where we stand, man, there's going to be some, it's going to be hard. I'm talking about real tests, you know, but the test in this country is the worst that we can even imagine is you know, loss of property or something like that, or jail time or whatever. Can you imagine in some countries where they, you know, put a knife to your fingers and they say, no, no, you deny him or else. There are people that are deformed in acid and different things, and because of their stance, because they were Christians and wouldn't deny the Lord, goodness. If that were to ever happen, would you stand for him? Would you be like Peter and say, listen, I don't care. I'll die for the Lord, and that's never going to happen. Well, I don't know. I don't know that I would never deny the Lord. I don't want to. I desire so badly to be faithful to him no matter what. And the only way that we're going to find that out is when it happens. If it happens, when it happens. Because we don't know. We can't imagine. We've never done that before. You know, the writer of Hebrews says, we've not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. Many, many have. But I'm looking to a bunch of softies here, me included. You know, what happens if true persecution comes? I'd like to say with Peter, Lord, I'd die for you. I'm not going to ever deny you. But you know what? I don't think we have to wait until that kind of persecution comes. I think all of us face standing for Christ like we should in this environment. How about we learn of his fidelity and stay true to him? And, you know, like I say, the more and more that we walk with him, the more and more we learn of his faithfulness and be faithful and loyal. Lord, thank you so much for